If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 8 this morning. And we've been talking about promises over the past three Sundays. And we talked about the fact that God's word could be trusted. We talked about the promise when we pray, that God gives us some promises in his word about the opportunity that we have to pray. And remember, I said that prayer is not something, it's not an option. It's actually a command in God's word, but he gives us some promises when it comes to prayer. But then last week we talked about the promise of peace. And I thought today it would be fitting to talk about something that I could tie a little bit with Memorial Day and everything. So look with me in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 31. Notice what the Bible says in verse 31 and following. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Oh, that's a good passage of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the gift of song. As I've said many times, how music soothes our souls. As we were reminded last week, music comes from the soul. And so, Father, I am grateful for the gift of music. God, I pray that you would take your word now, that you would embed it deep in our hearts today. God, that we might be comforted, that we might be encouraged. God, help us to be challenged. We certainly understand that is your desire that we become formed more to the image of your dear Son. And so, Father, I pray that we walk away from your house today changed. And God, I pray that most of all, that if there's someone who is in this room or somebody who's listening online that has never entered into that relationship with you through the love that you have given to mankind through your Son, Jesus Christ, that today might be that day. That someone might understand that without Christ, life is truly hopeless, and that they might put their faith and their trust and their confidence in the risen Savior of the world. God, I pray that you'll be with my words, and certainly, as the psalmist said, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, because you are my strength, and yes, you are my Redeemer. God, I pray that you'll bless now as only you can, and that you'll speak through my lips in such a way that we'll be able to give you all the praise and all the glory for what you'll do in Jesus' precious name. And for his sake, we pray, amen. Today, we've already taken time, and I'm so thankful, guys, in the media room. Thank you for working that out, that we were able to see the video. But as I mentioned, we take time to remember those who have given their lives to secure and maintain many of the freedoms we enjoy. But certainly today, I think we ought to celebrate also, we ought to take time to celebrate the ultimate security. There are men and women who have given their lives to secure and defend our freedoms, but we ought to celebrate the ultimate security we have in Jesus Christ. I said we should celebrate the security we have in Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right, Dono. Hello. It's like Hulk Hogan. I didn't hear you. Right? Man, what a precious promise from God's word that we have security in Christ. And so we'll not beat around the bush. Let's get right into it. Look at verse number 31. In verse 31 of our text, if you're a note taker, I want you to know, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's for us, who can be against us? Who... By the way, just ask yourself that question really quickly. If God is on your side, who can come against you? Who? Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page of music this morning. Notice the Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? Paul is talking about a myriad of things that are going on. By the way, he writes the book of Romans. There's one main reason. You'll find it in verse number 5 of chapter 1, and you'll find it at the end in chapter 16. He writes so that you and I as believers can obey the faith. He writes so that we can obey the faith so that all nations of the world would see our faith in Jesus Christ. And so here he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I got news for you. There's one who's against you. You know who I'm talking about, right? That little dirty devil, he is against you this morning. He hates you. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, he hates you. He hates everything you stand for. He hates your family. He hates your marriage. He hates the relationship you have with your kids. Young people, he hates the relationship you have with one another. If it's godly, he hates that relationship that you have with your parents. Oh, he's the roaring lion. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, Jesus foretelling of Peter's denial. You remember he said these words. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That's the same thing. Guys, here's the really cool thing about dealing with the devil. His tricks are all the same. His tricks, this is exactly what he wanted to do with Job. You remember? He wanted to sift Job as well. And God said, go ahead. Go ahead. Job is a man who stands up. He turns away from evil, right? And so he sets out to destroy Job's life. And I got news for you. He has set out each and every day to destroy your lives as well. The Bible tells us that we're to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So we know that the devil is against us. But here's another thing that you might not think about unless you really pay attention to what's going on around you, and that's the world is against you. The world is not a big fan. And by the way, it's getting worse and worse in the old, good old US of A, right? There's legislation and everything that is going on right now that is coming directly against places of worship and the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Who would have ever thunk it? It's like when we put up security cameras around the facility. By the way, we do have security cameras, so in case you want to be seen on those, you know, you can, right? If you try to do something you shouldn't, you'll be seen, right? Whoever thought we would have to put up security cameras at a place of worship? I mean, how crazy, how ludicrous is it for someone to come and say, I'm going to steal from God and think they're going to get away with it? And yet that's the world that we live in. Listen, the world is on the attack. I remember Jesus, if you read in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father and he's issuing this prayer. And in John chapter 17, verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word. He's saying, Father, I have given them thy word. He says, and the world hath hated them. Why did the world hate them? He's talking about his disciples and then by association us. He says, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I didn't give this to the media team, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 12, the Bible says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, the world is coming after you. Listen, I read last week we were talking about the promise of peace. And I read to you John chapter 16 and verse number 33. And after Jesus had served, he had in John chapter 13, he had washed the disciples' feet. John chapter 14, remember, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. And then we read later in John chapter 14, how he talked to about the fact that he was going to send the Comforter and the comfort of peace, right? That he says, I'm going to give you my peace, not as the world gives it. And then in John 15, we were encouraged. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And then in John 16, remember I said, how crazy. In the very beginning of John chapter 16, he says, oh, by the way, all this good news, let me warn you. He says, because the world will do away with you. The world will try and kill you, and they will think they have done the world a favor. by getting rid of you. But at the very end of John chapter 16, it's up on the screens. The good news is Jesus says, I have overcome the world. The bad news is he told you and I that in the world we're going to have tribulation. See, the world is not a fan of you today. It's not a fan of me. But I'm so comforted from God's word because the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And he says, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And so we can be thankful. We can celebrate in what we have in Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, John writes these words. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And then he says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now stop and look at that. Maybe you want to bracket that in your notes or in your Bible. If the love of the world, he says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why do you think John would write that? Why do you think he would write that? He wrote that because over Matthew, Jesus himself said, you cannot serve two masters. You can't love two masters, right? You can't love me and then love the world. You can't be focused on money or mammon and then be focused on God. We always talk about focus, right? And so this is why John says the same thing. And he goes on in verse 16, he says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, the devil is against us. The world is against us. And here's the hard one. And we won't take time to really break this out the way it is. But sometimes, right, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know who the world's, who our worst enemy is sometimes? Me, myself, and I. Hey, sometimes we give the devil a bad rap. Sometimes he's not even involved. We're destroying our own lives by our own choices without the devil's help, right? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul was alluding to over in Romans chapter 7? In fact, if you flip over one page, he's talking all about it. He says, hey, the things that I know that I should do, those are the things that I have a problem doing. And the things that I know that I shouldn't do, those are the things that I find myself doing. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And when I think about it, it's our carnal nature, right? It's our carnal nature that lies beneath the facade. You know what the facade is? Sometimes the facade is, there's my red, white, and blue Memorial Day. I'm wearing the blue, red, white, and blue suit. My wife's all patriotic'd out today, and many of us are wearing our patriotic colors, and it looks like some of the ushers called one another and said, wear your stars and stripes tie today, and everything. But underneath the facade, that's the person who Jesus has to deal with day in and day out. I remember the books, the series, The Man in the Mirror. I don't know if any of you men have ever read it. And sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm reminded how good God really is. Lamentations reminds us that His mercies are new every day. Amen? Every day His mercies are new. And sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, God, are you sure this is what you want for my life? Oh, listen, He's a good, good God. Oh, who can be against us? As believers, we have God's presence. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. I told you over and over, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't worry about the world. You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have God's presence. We have God's protection. In Psalm 28, the Bible says this in verse number 7, says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Who needs a shield today? Anybody? I got news for you. You're no match for the world, the flesh, and the devil. I need some strength and I need a shield. Last week I shared with you that God will give peace to the person whose mind is stayed on thee, right? Isaiah 26 verse 3. Verse 4 of that same chapter says that he is my everlasting strength. Oh, listen, I have his protection as a child of God. It says here, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Amen. It says, therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song I will praise him. I have a question. Is your life song praising God today? Does it praise God on Monday? You know, those rainy days and Mondays, they always get me down. If you're over 50 years old, you know that song. And the ones who are laughing, you just told me how old you are. Psalm 119, 114, the Bible says, thou art my hiding place, the psalmist says. You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. We have God's presence. We have his protection. We have God's power. Anybody need a little infusion of power? You know, it's funny. Can I borrow your cell phone? I'm not going to check who you texted or anything. Let me just borrow your cell phone. It's crazy to me. We have cell phones, right? We have cell phones, and what do we do with them at the end of the night? I'm going to give this back, Will, please. Will's like, you better give me my phone back, right? What we do is typically we set them on the nightstand, and if you're like me, I have an alarm clock that sits right next to my bed that I have had since I was in the Marine Corps in 1985, and that joker still works, right? And it sits right there, but I have ceased to use the alarm clock because I now have a phone and I can set the alarm on the phone. But what do I do at the end of every day? Or if you're a young person, you have to do it every other hour because you're running your batteries down watching videos. I actually plug my phone in so that my phone gets more what? Power. The Bible says, look here in Isaiah 41, in verse number 10, the Bible talks about, here you go, Will. Thank you. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen ye. I will strengthen you. He says, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Remember, our righteousness, Isaiah says, is as filthy rags. Jesus says, I got the power, and I'm going to uphold you because I am righteous. That's good news. We have his power. We have his protection. John 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We not only have God's presence, protection, power, and provision, we have God's purpose. Last week I shared with you Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11, right? The Lord says to Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. We were talking about peace last week. Not of evil, but to give you an expected end. God has a purpose and a plan for every one of our lives. So I say again to you, if God be for us, who can be against us? He is the Lord of all, and he can do all. Thank you for those people who said amen. I just said, he's the Lord of all, and he can do all. He can mend your broken heart. He can mend your broken spirit. He can apply that sweet balm of Gilead to your hurting body and bring healing about in your body. That's why I always say, listen, I don't discount a doctor's diagnosis, but I always take that diagnosis to the great physician because he is able to do all things because he is the Lord of all. And so we have to give him the glory. Number two, if God be for us, who can condemn us? Who can condemn us? Notice in verse number 33 of our text, the Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Listen, for the believer, the beautiful truth is that our guilt has been set aside. In fact, it's been set so far aside, it's really cool. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in Micah chapter 7, verse number 18 and 19, that Jesus takes our sin, and here's what he does. He goes, and he throws it into the depths of the sea. And the beautiful thing about this idea of who can condemn us, and the answer again is no one other than Jesus Christ. He doesn't condemn us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But the beautiful thing is, at the end of it all, if you were to read Revelation chapter 21, it says one day there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth and there will be no more sea. And Anita, you remember what I said. There'll be no more sea. Oh, how beautiful is that? Where did our sins get thrown into? The depths of the sea. And when the new heaven and the new earth comes, God in His goodness says there'll no more be any more sea. He's getting rid of all of our sinfulness once and for all. Listen, we have been given power through the Holy Spirit of God to stand up, to be steady during the trials and temptations of our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, writing to that struggling church, said these words. In verse 23 and 24, he said, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." I like what the Scottish poet some years ago, some of you younger students probably remember this, the poet Robert Burns, when he wrote his poem, To a Mouse. That was the title of his poem, To a Mouse. You'll understand here in a second. He said, "The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry and leave us nothing but grief and pain for promised joy." Listen, the Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. That's in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. Without Jesus Christ, my plans, the best laid plans of mice and men, they often go awry. They leave us full of grief and pain. Oh yes, but we must be careful to live our lives, not only according to our own ways, but we must be careful to live our lives in such a way that somebody else could not come against us and condemn us, right? The Bible says the only one that can condemn is Christ, but He doesn't condemn. He has given us new life. But we also have to be careful because, like I say, people are watching, right? Mom and Dad, I got news for you. That little baby who's now grown, they're watching. They're watching to see if your actions match your words. They're learning more. If you say you're a Christian, they're learning more about Jesus from your actions than they are, many times, God's Word. And so it's imperative that we don't give somebody good reason to condemn us or the faith that we so willingly share with. We need to be above board. I put this, we need to be above board in our dealings inside and outside of the home, inside and outside of the workplace, the marketplace. And guess what? We also need to be above board inside and outside of the worship place. When we come to a place of worship, we need to be above board in our dealings. Listen, the good news is that we have somebody that has our back. His name is Jesus. Amen. He is our security. Even the Holy Spirit gets involved. In Romans chapter 8, just a few verses before where we began reading this morning, the Bible says this, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." When you look back at verse number 34, the Bible tells us that Jesus died for us, He rose again for us, and that He intercedes for us. That means He goes to the Father on your behalf and on my behalf. He is our security, and that is good news this morning. Oh, listen, oh, what a Savior we serve. And then lastly this morning, I just say to you this, if God be for us, who can separate us? Who can separate us from the love of God if God be for us? Look at verse 35. The Bible says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" You see, this verse in question was actually referencing a real life situation. A lot of times we read it and we say, what's the big deal? You got to understand, Paul is writing about a real life situation because the Jewish believers at that time were questioned day in and day out about their faith by the Roman soldiers. And so what's happening here, notice with me, what's happening is they're being questioned. And if you read the book of Acts, you know that the way is what they called early Christianity. And so the Jews were being asked, this was a form of persecution, really. They were asking them whether they were Christ followers, right? And so the real live question that we see here in verse 35 is this: as a believer, do I deny Jesus Christ to protect myself and my family, or do I face any peril that would come to me because of my faith? That's the real live question here. We're not talking about eternity. We're talking about real life here. And so as believers, they had to make the choice. Do I deny Christ and protect myself, right, from whatever's coming my way? Or do I stand up knowing that I'm safe in the arms of Jesus and face any peril that should come my way, right? And so this was the real live question. And folks, I got news for us. As we read it today, on Memorial Day Sunday, so to speak, in 2019, we are faced with the same question. See, when we go out these doors, we have a choice. We can either come in here on Sunday and pretend that we're Christ followers and then walk out the door and live as if we're not Christ followers, or we can be consistent on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and face, quote unquote, any perils that might come our way. Do you know, I was talking with a man, I spoke Thursday night down at Heritage Baptist Church in Chesterfield, Virginia. They had a men's outing down there, and I was down there and I was speaking to the men about being godly men. And I had a gentleman come up to me and he was talking to me about the fact that he had been out sharing his faith. And he was giving a tract to somebody, and he told me that it was a lady, and she did not take kindly to him sharing his faith, and really kind of got violent with him. And I said, well, what was your reaction? And he said, well, I was kind of stunned, to be honest. I was thinking, why wouldn't she want this? And I said, well, not everybody is going to want to receive that message right when you give it. I said, but, you know, be encouraged. You were planting seeds. And he said, well, sometimes I just feel like giving up. And I said, well, we all feel like that sometimes. I said, but listen, you have to be encouraged, knowing what I was talking about. If God be for you, who can be against you? Who can condemn you? And who can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? And the answer is no one. And so he kind of took a little bit of heart as he went on. And I would say to you this morning, listen, maybe you're discouraged. And you're thinking, who can come against me? Who can condemn me? Who can separate me from the love of Christ? I want to encourage you, no one. And you know, as David did when the Bible tells us that David had to encourage himself in the Lord when he was being chased and he was being threatened. The Bible says this in Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Look, I highlighted in my text a strong tower and the fact that when we run to it, we're safe. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Over and over and over again, God's word. And we don't even have time. You just do your own personal study and look up every time God says that you're going to be safe, or there's safety, or coming under the auspice of his safety. And back in our text in verse number 36 and following, notice what the Bible says. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But notice, here's what I want you to catch. Notice what Paul says. He says, for I am persuaded. That word persuaded means I'm convinced. I'm convinced. He's saying, he's not saying, oh, well, somebody told me this and I think this is true. He's saying, I'm convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, as I close this message, I want to challenge you and myself. We have to get ourselves away from the earthly things that try to press down on us so much and celebrate the eternal things that God has given us for encouragement. And by the way, the eternal things that God also uses to encourage us with his security. Colossians 3 says this in verse number 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek, I highlighted that, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I had a soteriology professor who put it to me this way. And we were in Ephesians chapter 1, and the first thing in soteria, the doctrine of salvation. And the first thing that happens at a Bible college, it doesn't matter whether it's a Baptist Bible college, a Methodist Bible college, it makes no difference. But the first thing that takes place in a soteriology class is you've got people who's like, want to talk to you about election and predestination and everything like that. And so the soteriology professor said, I'm going to go ahead and answer the question before you guys get there. And this was the first day of class. And he turned around and, yes, we had chalkboards. I know that's a thing of the past, but we had chalkboards. And so he took up the piece of chalk and he wrote on there, he says, "We are headed for heaven and there's nothing that we can do to help it." And he talked about the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of redemption that we read about in Ephesians chapter 1. And then he went to some other passages. Folks, who can come against us? No one. Who can condemn us? Well, the one who has the right to condemn us has chosen not to condemn us. So again, the answer is no one. And who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Again, I say no one, no one, no one. I think of Helen Lemel's hymn and her timeless classic in which she penned these words. You might find them a little bit familiar when the refrain of her song sounds out like this by saying, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You and I are secure in Jesus Christ." Oh, we have nothing to fear, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Oh, we can be encouraged because it makes no difference what me, myself, and I, or anyone else pulls out against me. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. And so I say this, we remember those who gave that last full measure of devotion. We do. We have a beautiful replica of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier sitting here to remind us of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for, quite honestly, the freedoms that we enjoy and the opportunity to worship Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember their sacrifice. But today, I would be wrong if I didn't encourage you and challenge you to celebrate. We can remember the sacrifice of men and women, but today I challenge you to celebrate the security, the liberty, and the freedoms that you and I have in Jesus Christ and Him only. He is the only one who was able to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Oh, we have security in Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is a promise that you and I can take to the proverbial bank. Thank you, Wesley, and a couple others. We can take it to the bank. I'm so thankful that I'm secure in Christ Jesus, because I can tell you what, there's not a lot of other people who are going to encourage me in my security with Christ. And so I challenge you today, get into God's Word. Be encouraged this week as you look to Christ, the ultimate security of your and my faith.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like more information about our ministry, check out our website at battlefieldbaptist.org or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We'll see you next time.